Hi, this is Ryan Dobson for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I want to take a moment to let you know about a really exciting opportunity for you to be a part of what God is doing through Family Talk. We have recently received a $400,000 matching grant that doubles every gift you give to equip and empower parents and families. Every dollar you donate this month to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk immediately becomes $2 towards preserving and promoting the institution of the family. And it's an excellent opportunity to join us in our work, and we can't do it without the faithful support of our listeners. So if you'd like to help us reach the goal of $400,000 and maximize the potential of this grant, please call us right now at 877-732-6825. You can also donate on our website, drjamesdobson.org, on our Facebook page, or through our Family Talk smartphone app. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and I am so excited for today's broadcast. It comes from this year's National Day of Prayer event held on May 1st in Washington, D.C. This is the 64th annual National Day of Prayer, and it was my mom, who is the chairman of the National Day of Prayer, it was her 24th event. I am so proud of her. She thought maybe she'd do this for 1 or 2 years, maybe 3, and she's been doing it for 24 straight years in a row. And it takes so much work and so much effort, and she does it tirelessly, and she loves it. My mom is the definition of a true prayer warrior. Today's broadcast is the presentation Judge Maurice Foley gave at the National Day of Prayer, and you are going to love it. In fact, all the presentations were amazing. This year's honorary chairman was Ann Graham Lotz, and she was so fired up. It was just riveting to watch all of the presenters. And over the next weeks and months, we'll be playing a lot more of their presentations. John Bornstein is the vice chair of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, and he'll be introducing Judge Foley. And at the conclusion, Dick Eastman is going to pray. He is the international president of Every Home for Christ. What an amazing ministry that is, and he delivers a beautiful prayer. He is also a former chairman of the National Prayer Committee, which handles the National Day of Prayer events in Washington, D.C. So without any further ado, here is Vice Chair John Bornstein introducing Judge Maurice Foley on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, I have the pleasure of introducing our next speaker, Judge Maurice Foley. He is a Juris Doctor from Bolt Hall School of Law from the University of California at Berkeley, a Master's of Law in Taxation from Georgetown University Law Center. Prior to his appointment to the court, was an attorney for the Legislative Regulations Division of the Internal Revenue Service, Tax Counsel for the United States Senate Committee on Finance, and Deputy Tax Legislative Counsel and the U.S. Treasury's Office of Tax Policy. He was appointed by President Clinton as a judge in April of 1995. He was reappointed on November 25th, 2011, for a term that will end in 2026. Please help me welcome Judge Maurice Foley.
I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the opportunity to speak before you today. And I detect a little apprehension, and I want everybody to relax. I'm not going to try to explain the Internal Revenue Code to you. I found out long ago that taxes are not very popular here on Capitol Hill. They're not popular in this house. They're not popular in any household in the United States. They're not even popular in the Foley household. I was reminded of that 20 years ago when I was trying to explain my job as a government attorney to my three-year-old son. I took about an hour to explain to him what a government tax attorney does. We then went to visit a friend of mine, and my wife was going to show off, and she said, you know, tell everybody what daddy does. And he says, my daddy's a taxi driver. You know, he just didn't get it. He just didn't get it. And you know, when I look at how we view our relationship with our Heavenly Father, we just don't get it. because our Heavenly Father has been very careful in revealing to us His power, His presence, and His position. And He's done that through His Word, and He's done that through His messengers and miracles that He's performed in each of our lives. But we just don't get it. To the contrary, we treat our Heavenly Father as if He's our celestial servant, bossing Him around, telling Him what to do, or maybe treating Him as our cosmic concierge, consulting Him for options that we can choose from. No, we allow our pride to impair our relationship with our Lord. And judges are guilty of that just like everyone else. But I don't want to tell you what I think judges ought to do. I want to turn to what the Lord says judges have to do. In 2 Chronicles, in the 19th chapter, when King Jehoshaphat was appointing the judges for Judah, he said, "Consider what you are doing, for you judge not on behalf of human beings. You judge on the Lord's behalf. He is with you in giving judgment." Well, I'm an Article I judge, so we have 15-year terms. So I've had the pleasure of being appointed by two presidents, and I've also had the pleasure of two Senate confirmation proceedings. Now, I'm very appreciative of the confirmations and the nominations, but I'm also very clear that I serve on behalf of the Lord, Amen. That I judge on behalf of the Lord. And while I have a great deal of respect and deference to the courts of appeals and follow the precedents set forth by the courts of appeals and have a great deal of respect and deference to the Supreme Court justices down the street, I don't judge on their behalf. I judge on the Lord's behalf. So what does it mean to say that the Lord is with me in giving judgment? Well, Proverbs is very clear that if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, acknowledge Him in all thy ways, He will direct my path. And He directs my path. And it's through a relationship with Him, an intimate relationship with Him, not a casual relationship, but an intimate relationship that is fueled by time with Him, time in His Word, and dialogue with Him, prayer. Now, King Jehoshaphat assumed this relationship among the judges he was appointed. And that's why he also said, "Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care what you do. For with the Lord our God, there is no perversion of justice, partiality, or taking of bribes." Now, why was it important for him to say, "Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you"? Well, it's that deep reverence and respect for the Lord that creates accountability. It's awe for His majesty and power that draws us near to Him. And but for my relationship with the Lord, I might be crazy enough to think that I was in control, that I had all the answers. But it's the relationship with the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit that enables a judge to do what everybody thinks a judge should do, and that's be fair, be just, be patient, be a good listener. Those are things that are difficult to do in the flesh. Well, Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Well, he said that for good reason, because there's a connection between humility and obedience, and there's a connection between disobedience and pride. Now, if I had all of the answers, I might be tempted to decide a case the way I wanted to decide it and ignore the facts and the law. But the fact that I'm accountable and know that I'm held accountable, not just on my job, but everywhere, that changes things. Now, is there any reason to think that judges might be particularly afflicted by this malady called pride? Well, I don't know. I'll let you all decide. I mean, judges are typically chosen among a pool of high-achieving, very intense, type A individuals. Then they get a presidential appointment. Then they get Senate confirmation. And then they put honorable before their name. And then they direct people to stand up when they enter their place of work and stand up when they leave their place of work. Then they get pretty good job security. And then they get to play dress up and wear costumes to work. Now, I don't have a doctorate in psychology, but I think that the people who are subject to those circumstances, they might have a little bit of a problem with pride. But humility is a mindset. It's a mindset. You can choose to be humble. What's our example of that? Jesus. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. That's what the Bible says. Now, my dad had a different way of saying it. When he would tell me to do something, my dad, he's old school, you know, and no-nonsense guy, and from the streets of East St. Louis, Illinois. And when he told me to do something, he said, okay, you're going to do it either before the fight or after the fight. You choose. I was typically wise enough to do it before the fight because I knew it was a fight I was going to lose. Well, see, God has the same principle. Because you can choose humility before the fight or after the fight. There are examples of that. Nebuchadnezzar chose to be humbled after the fight, okay? Herod Agrippa, in a scene to me that was very reflective of an investiture. I mean, I didn't know what an investiture was when I was nominated. I thought it might have been some type of investigation or public airing of what they found out in the FBI reports, But when Herod Agrippa took the platform and gave a public speech and took the glory that was intended for God, he was struck down immediately. So he chose to be humble, to allow the Lord to humble him. Now, I remember when I was going to a judicial conference and my wife was with me and she looked around the room and she detected several people with earpieces, and they're obviously security. And she turned to me and she said, "Maurice, somebody real important must be here. Look at the security. I wonder who they're here for." And I said, "Baby, they're here for us." And she said, "They're here for you?" Well, you know, my wife wears a lot of hats. She's a wonderful wife. She's a wonderful mother, she's a librarian, she's a lawyer, but she's also the lead detective and chief investigator in the Pride police force in the Foley household. And she's on a mission to uproot pride wherever it rears its ugly head in our household. And she does a wonderful job. I keep her very busy. But you know, judges need that. Judges need people around them who are going to point out when pride is rearing its ugly head to keep us in line and keep us accountable. And I think that the best training for judges is to strive to be a godly father and a godly husband. Because by doing that, you get your doctorate in humility. Now, you know, and God's best servants are obviously his most humble servants. A great example of that is Moses. I mean, when Moses started off, he thought that he could take matters into his own hands and save his people by killing the Egyptian. But after 40 years leading sheep, he became the humblest person on earth. Well, I haven't shepherded any sheep, but I have been a father, and I have been a husband. And through those experiences, you learn humility because you learn how big God is and how little you are. My favorite verse in the Bible is when Paul says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain." Because that hammers home the point that God has done so much for me and blessed me in so many ways that I have an obligation to him to serve him, to make sure that grace is not wasted. So it's not, I don't have to reflect back too far to see how far God has taken me. Because I remember the middle school student who couldn't even say his name because of a severe stuttering problem and was afraid to even answer the phone because I couldn't say hello. And now here I am talking on this microphone and without too much of a problem. That's grace. I remember a college student who, after 2 months in college, was thrown out of college and had to contemplate my first introduction to the legal system. And now I'm part of the legal system. That's grace. I recall that same college freshman fervently pursuing a very attractive college senior who would not give him the time of day. And she's still with me 36 years later. That's grace. A law school graduate, his first year on the job, and 1 month after starting the job, informed that he had failed the bar exam. Now I'm on the bench. That's grace. A tax court nominee got a call from his cousin who reminded him that when she did her research on the Foley family, she discovered tax records from Mississippi delineating our ancestors on the tax records along with the rest of Mr. Foley's property. And now I'm adjudicating tax disputes on the tax court. So the Lord has taken our family from being property on tax records to the position that I am right now. That's grace. And a couple who thought about starting a family 25 years ago, and today I have a son in divinity school, another son who is a very accomplished guitarist, and a daughter who is on her way to med school. And I like to tell folks, when my wife and I get into our old age, we'll have someone who can pray for us, someone who can play for us, and someone who will pay for us. And the blessing is that they all know who paid the price for them. That's grace. I realize God's presence, his power, and his position in my life. And that's what keeps me accountable. And it's my prayer that my life, my deeds, my words, and my decisions give glory to him and point others to Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Waiting for you to be seated so I could ask you if you would please stand. Let's stand together to pray. As Judge Foley was sharing, I don't know why when you described Moses, I was, often when you're introduced as a speaker, they read a long list of your accomplishments and you feel nervous because you were the one that gave them that list, your bio. And I was thinking of Moses in the 10th, 11th, 12th chapters of Numbers when Israel was causing so much trouble and he was so upset and they were murmuring. And then you get into chapter 12 and I was reading this and verse 2 in parentheses in scripture it says, "Now Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth." And I paused and thought, who wrote that? You know, Moses wanted to get in a good word for himself right about there. But hearing Judge Foley spoke one thing to my heart. We need to pray for more judges like this. And and we're going to pray. Psalm 11, verses 3 through 7, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them, for the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men shall see his face. Symbolically, I want you to take your right hand, just place it on your heart. It's a picture of reverence and something solemn about that, even when the flag comes in, and we're going to use this as our posture to pray. You know, this is a season, even in our nation, when a lot of things are coming, even before the Supreme Court right now, that are very, very critical for religious liberty and freedom of conscience, and we're aware of this. And so we want to pray especially for the justices of our high court, Chief Justice Roberts, and then the associate justices Alito and Justice Thomas and Kennedy and Kagan, Ginsburg and Breyer and Scalia and Sotomayor. Incidentally, there's a new map of the United States, a prayer map, out on the tables that you can use, that a commemorative edition of the National Day of Prayer this year, that has the picture of all those justices in it for you to pray. But I want you to join with me in agreement as we pray a simple prayer over these justices, but then also over all of our judicial system. Let's agree together. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of agreement, and you have said in your word through your Son that even when just two agree, something is set in motion in the heavenlies. And so we agree together over the judicial system of our land. We thank you for Judge Foley and the remarkable and inspiring testimony that we've heard, and how you raise up these judges and you put them in these key places. And Lord, we ask you to do the same all across our land. And Father, we pray especially for Justice Roberts, for Alito, for Thomas, for Kennedy, Kagan, for Ginsburg and Breyer, Scalia and Sotomayor. Lord, speak into their spirits. And Father, especially I pray that they would see you, that they would know you, that they would hear you, and that they would fear you. For as we have heard from Judge Foley, a reminder again from Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is insight and understanding. And so, Lord, we agree together that you would speak into the hearts of those that have to make these critical decisions. And, Lord, that you would be honored in these decisions. And so as we pray, bless America, Lord, we pray, bless our judicial system, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Oh, what a beautiful prayer and a fantastic way to end this broadcast. That was the International President of Every Home for Christ, Dick Eastman, praying at the end of Judge Maurice Foley's presentation. That was given at the 64th Annual National Day of Prayer event in Washington, D.C., held in the Cannon House. Oh my goodness, I can't wait for you to hear the rest of the presentations. They are amazing. Anne Graham Lotz was this year's honorary chairman, and she was fantastic. And I couldn't end the program without thanking my mom and dad. My mom has been running the National Day of Prayer for 24 years, and she is just, as I said in the beginning, a prayer warrior. I am so proud of her, and my dad has supported her every step of the way, like she has done for his ministry. What great role models I have in my parents. I am so blessed. Thank you for listening. God bless, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family. Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson inviting you to join us for our next edition of Family Talk. Every day we come to these microphones with someone in mind, whether it's a busy mom looking for tips on discipline or a husband who wants to learn more about connecting with his wife. We want to put an arm around your family in any way that we can. So join us next time for Family Talk, won't you?
We all know you love keeping up with old friends and posting pictures of your kids on Facebook, but did you know you can also find America's foremost family authority there? For up-to-date program information and the latest articles and insights from psychologist and best-selling author and my dad, Dr. James Dobson, go to your Facebook page and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook. Join the growing number of fans and like us today.